The San Francisco of 2019, with its tech startups and mile-high rents, is not the San Francisco of actor Jimmy Fails' childhood.
I always say that the Bose Park, which is the park right by my house where I grew up in, kind of looked like a Spike Lee film back in the day. It was just like boom boxes and dice games, just very lively sort of place. There weren't really any white people there when I was living there growing up.
It's also not the San Francisco that director Joe Talbot grew up in.
I grew up sort of hugging the border of Bernal Heights in the Mission District. And for me growing up, that was one of the more diverse areas in San Francisco. And I think, you know, you'd just constantly be around people that were different from you. And that's, you know, part of how Jimmy and I met.
Joe and Jimmy first met as teenagers after Jimmy and his family were pushed out of their home in the historically black Fillmore district. They moved into public housing projects not far from where Joe's family lived, and the two men soon realized they were creatively in sync. Now they've collaborated on a film called The Last Black Man in San Francisco, based loosely on Jimmy's life. In the film, he plays a character, also named Jimmy Fails, who attempts to return to his family's home in a gentrified San Francisco that no longer seems to have space for black Americans. I sat down with Jimmy Fails and Joe Talbot to learn more about how they brought this story of Bay Area gentrification to the screen.
One of the first things we did 5 years ago, we shot a concept trailer. And, you know, part of that was we knew that we were not a very bankable duo. I'm a high school dropout. Jimmy had only ever starred in my movies, but we felt there was something really, you know, compelling here, and it was in our way, I think, trying to work through our own feelings about San Francisco, both having grown up there and seeing it change in these ways, you know, that felt, made the city that we love feel less and less recognizable.
One of the things that, I mean, there were many, many things that stood out to me in the film, but one of them was the sort of genteel racism among white San Franciscans and their black neighbors, if you will. And that's very familiar to those of us who live in the Northeast, but it's less familiar, I think, to folks in other parts of the country. Was that a conscious decision to put that in? And I'm thinking specifically of some interactions with Jimmy, your character, and, say, the white tour group that was correcting your character about when the house was built. Of course, there's a plot twist with that.
I can see, you know, there's another interaction with me and the guy when I'm moving the stuff in, and he's like a little weird, you know.
Yep.
Like that one for sure was like supposed to be a weird sort of reaction, you know. And that's often how it feels. It's like the neighborhoods have changed so much that it was meant to feel like, how am I the weird one, you know? It's like, how am I the weird one when I was here before you even were here? So mm-hmm. You know, so it's that sort of feeling that we were trying to get across with that.
Jim, do you want to tell a story about when you were walking home to our back?
Oh, wow. He always makes me tell a story. But yeah, so it was late at night. I'm walking behind. There's like a white guy walking in front of me. And I get it. I'm kind of bigger and black, and it's late at night. So I make it a point to cross the street so that I don't make him feel uncomfortable, because I could feel him kind of keep looking back and, you know, just seeing. And we were just happened to be walking the same way. Down like a one-way street, so it was just like a long sort of street that we had to both kind of go. So I crossed the street. He was still uncomfortable, but eventually we had to go the same way because I had to walk. I was walking back home. So we get to the park, and I'm still walking behind him, and the sprinklers are going, and we cross the street, and I'm like closer to him, and he just starts sprinting through the sprinklers, literally, like just got drenched, just started sprinting, like, and I was just like, okay. Like, I was just walking home, but, like, you know, you didn't have to get yourself drenched. I was like, all right, man.
And that's through the neighborhood that we
and
grew
that's,
up in.
And that's the neighborhood we grew up in. And that's like a funny story, in retrospect, it's like those are the microaggressions you have to deal with, like, a lot, being a black male. And it doesn't make me feel good at the end of the day. It's like you laugh it off in the moment, but it's like that's kind of f***ed up.
It, you know, Joe, you are directing a narrative that is really Jimmy's story and the story of many black San Franciscans. You are not black. You're a white filmmaker. Do you feel that you're able to, or how do you make sure that you're able to tell those stories responsibly?
Yeah, I think that's, you know, a really good question. And I think I'm glad that it's becoming more of a discussion, I think, with films now, you know, not just what's happening in front of the camera, obviously, but who's behind sort of telling these stories. I think, you know, for us, me and Jimmy have been making movies since, you know, we were teens, and we've been friends long before that. And so it sort of unfolded naturally just that we would make this because that was something that we'd always done.
It didn't feel at all in a way like, you know, he's trying to help me tell my story, you know, and I'm his friend. It never felt like he was trying to tell the story of the Black experience in San Francisco. But we also grew up in the same neighborhood, so there is a lot of similar things. And it's inspired by my story and based on my story, but it is pulling a lot from, you know, people that Joe knew and experiences he had as well.
You know, I think, too, that, like, there are a lot of stories, you know, even being a lifelong San Franciscan, I'm fifth-generation San Franciscan, even with that, there are other stories in San Francisco that are, you know, not stories that I think I am the right person to necessarily tell. And so I think, you know, but even that sort of was how it began, was just sort of informally between Jimmy and I. But I think it was also important, you know, as we kind of grew the film and we brought on more collaborators, you know, it was important that those people also have different perspectives, you know, and that the decision makers in this film not just be people like myself, like you said, who are white. Because I think this story was tapping into something that's happening to our city. And, you know, I think for us, even just beyond race, it was like, me and Jimmy are both from San Francisco, so we have a very particular relationship to the city, even as different as our experiences have been mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. That's something that we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, growing up and into now. Is like,
yeah, and as much as it's about my story, it's about the city, and we're both from the city, and we both love the city, so we're still trying to tell a story about the city as well.
I think one of the things that when we think about gentrification, and I can speak to New York specifically, but San Francisco has also obviously seen this, it feels like there's no turning back. It feels like the fabric of communities has been permanently changed, and that means both racially and economically and in a lot of other ways. What do you both see, since you're native San Franciscans and you've done this film, what do you see about the future of the city in terms of who's able to live there and who isn't?
Man, it's hard because it does seem like sometimes you're at the point of no return, but there are little pockets and there's little moments that do give you a little bit of hope, you know. The premiere of this movie was one of them, one of those moments where you got to see a lot of people from all over the city, different parts of the city, all together in support. And the best thing about that was just them being all together. And I think it starts with unity.
Yeah. I think that every week my feelings about San Francisco shift, you know. I think I have some weeks where I feel like it's lost, and it, you know, there are things that we won't get back. And yet there was something really special, like Jimmy said, about being at the Castro, you know, one of our last like movie palaces, and it's filled to the brim with almost entirely San Francisco natives, some people we grew up with, some people we looked up to, like Danny Glover, Barry Bonds is there. And it felt like this night, like, not only was it wonderful to get to like share this thing that we've been obviously working on for a long time with the city, that's about the city, but the reaction and the feeling in the room felt oddly like inspirational and hopeful. It felt like, you know, there's still enough people left to pack the Castro, and the energy in that space felt like, you know, there's still a fight to be had here. We live to fight another day.
Joe Talbot is the director of The Last Black Man in San Francisco, and Jimmy Fails is the star of the film. Thanks to you both for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.